Now, last week, as we looked at the beginning portion of Micah chapter 3, we saw that the prophet Micah began again to preach against the prophets and the leaders in the house of Israel. And as he preached against them, he used what I referred to as a shock pastoring technique by saying that the prophets were, and the leaders were, eating the people. They were boiling them and breaking their bones and eating their flesh. And of course, as I said, this was not literal, but it was describing the way in which they were treating the people under their oversight. They were heavy-handed, and they were self-serving, as Ezekiel tells us elsewhere, and the Lord himself would have to come and shepherd them. Now, the reason that Micah was preaching against the leaders and against the prophets of the time is that they were in unbelief. They were not those that were believing the gospel, and they were not looking to the things that we call the shadows and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they basically saw the thing as a whole business in order to be served for themselves. And this is something that God comes down heavily upon. We know that God is tender as he deals with unbelief in his children. But those that deceive and those that set out to deceive the people of God, nowhere in Scripture do we see God dealing with them tenderly. We can even look at the Gospels and see the different approach that the Lord Jesus takes with the people who were as clueless in a lot of ways as anything, and the way that he deals with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Lord Jesus is tender even to those that are confused about spiritual things, and those that are immature with spiritual matters, and those that struggle to grab hold of the truths of the gospel. We see a tender Christ. But when the Pharisees are leading and they are refusing to believe, and they are refusing to teach, and they're refusing to acknowledge the truths of the Scripture, Jesus is hard on them. There's a different approach. And we see that same approach in the Old Testament as God deals with those who are the people of God versus those that are the leadership, those that ought to be taught. Now we come to verses 5 through the end of the chapter, which is verse 12 today, and we see that Micah is putting forth this idea that is captured in the center, where he says, "It will be night to you without vision. It will be darkness without divination. The sun will go down. Day will blacken over them." So this whole idea is that as the prophets who are false go out to do their work of false prophesying or false preaching, that God is going to bring darkness upon them and he's going to silence them. And this is what Micah is preaching. We begin with just looking at verse 5, and Micah begins with saying, "Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets." So he's speaking specifically again to those that are preaching in God's name. Again, not speaking to those who are in the pews, so to speak. Speaking to those that are preaching. Now, it's very important that we should take notice of what God says. And that's how Micah begins. He says, "Thus says the Lord." This is the way of the true prophet. The prophet is one who comes with the voice of God and is able to say, "Here is what God's word says. Here is what the will of God is concerning this matter." And it's so important that we should take notice of what God says, because what the scriptures give us is everything that is necessary for our salvation and our Christian life. You should not be listening to those that may come and say, listen, here's what God is saying. Here's what God wants you to do. I know that the Bible says this, but this is over here. This is what God wants you to do. Thus says the Lord. We are to stand on the Word of God. And we see that the Bible often clearly will spell out the message that God has for His people, like we see here. But there's false prophets in Micah's day, just like Micah represents the true prophets. And the same could be said in the church of all time. There are false prophets and there are true prophets. There are those that stand on the Word of God and those that refuse to stand on the Word of God, putting aside, thus saith the Lord. The prophets are here proclaiming peace as God has promised a coming judgment because of the sin and rebellion of the people. And the prophets are saying, don't you see you have food in your belly? It's got to be good. God is obviously blessing you as long as you've got food. And those that are going hungry, those that are starving, and it doesn't get into reasons why, the prophets turn to them and they say, you are cursed from God. And they're using the belly as the standard of God speaking. See, this is a serious problem. They are calling what God says is cursed, they're calling it good. And that which is good, according to God, they are calling accursed. And we see this often as people walk away from the God of the Bible. We often see that shift in ethic where someone will say, you know, I know that this is what God's Word says, and I don't really understand why it says it, but I'm going to do what I can by the power of the Spirit to walk in faithfulness to what God says. And yet, as people drift away from the Lord, they see what God says is good. And they say, you know, that's actually not good. And they see what God says is evil. And they begin to see it as good. Friends, that's where we are as a culture right now. We have the Word of God that sets forth an ethic for what God requires of us according to His Word towards Him. And we have an ethic of what God requires of us towards one another. How to love God, how to love our neighbor. And we have a culture that looks at this book that is the center of our lives, and they say, you know, that's filled with evil things. That's filled with things that are good that it calls evil. And it's filled with things that are evil that it calls good. Friends, we live in a time, as I've argued in the last several weeks, a time very similar to the time of Micah. A time of prosperity, yet a time of spiritual decay. The false prophets were telling the inhabitants of Judah that everything was going to be okay. Of course, that is what all the people wanted to hear. We love to hear that. You know, if you're crying and needing to be comforted, one of the most comforting things to your ear is someone saying, it is going to be okay. And this was the only message that the prophets were bringing. No matter what the people of God were doing, no matter their rebellion and their time of running away from God, these false prophets are coming around and they're comforting and they're just saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Friends, this was not the message for this time. It is an appropriate message at certain times. But this was not that time. Calvin said the sentence is to be so understood that when they did bite well, they announced peace. peace with full confidence, for by the word of God, God's name, sought only their own advantage. They were not satisfied with moderate support, inasmuch as they were like hungry dogs. They therefore devoured and gorged themselves without any limits or moderation. This is the reason why he says they did bite, for he compares them either to lions or bears, and we know that wild beasts are not satisfied with a small quantity of food, but they gnash, as it were, with their teeth, except when they are being pampered. And that's what we see in verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. It's centered on eating, just like we saw in the previous week. It's a devouring of the people of God and telling them that as long as their bellies are full, that life is going to be okay. But Micah has stronger words for the false prophets. He has words even of trouble. If you look at verses 6 through 8, Micah goes from saying, here are the false prophets and what they're doing, to giving what will happen to them. He says, therefore it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, the diviners put to shame. They shall cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel their sin. So what Micah is saying will happen to those who are the false prophets. He says that night is going to come upon them, that it's going to be like a darkness that covers them, that this darkness, as it begins to cover them, the sun is going to go down on the prophets, and the comfort is going to go away from them, and their ability even to speak these false things is going to come down as a judgment of God. They will not just be surrounded by trouble on the outside, but the text makes it seem as though there's going to be confusion that comes to them, something of mental confusion taking away their ability to falsely prophesy. You see that in verse 7. It says that they shall be disgraced. They shall be put to shame. They shall cover their lips. There will be no answer from God. We see that these false prophets in the land are going to be silenced by God. Now, of course, we've established that they're not getting true visions from God. The things that they're speaking are not coming from God. But what we see here is that their reputation is that they do come in the name of the Lord. They're speaking peace, and the true prophets are saying, guys, it's not a time of peace. This is not what we are about right now. We are to be preparing for exile. And the false prophets are saying, you know, don't listen to them. That's foolishness. This is a time of peace. Are you full? Do you have food in your belly? Of course everything is okay from God. And Micah is saying, these prophets will have to stand in darkness with their mouths covered, having nothing even to speak. They were a sham. They were cheats. They were imposters. But it seems from the text that God will allow them to be found out, that God will show forth the hypocrisy of the false prophets. And then Micah makes this comparison. with himself. He says in verse 8, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." So Micah compares himself to the false teachers, and he says that he is filled with power and that he has been faithful despite the other prophets in the land. Micah is writing off their popularity as preachers and their prosperity as preachers. And he turns and he says, look at my credentials. You know, you come with power, you come with popularity, you come with all of these people coming around you. And Micah says, here are my credentials. I am a spokesman of God. I come in the name of God. And he's not doing this to puff himself up or to put forth himself as a minister, but we're reminded that the reason that we gather from Lord's Day to Lord's Day is not so that we can hear of ourselves. And it's not so that we can hear of how good we are. I mean, friends, it would be much cheaper for you, instead of hiring someone to preach the Word of God, to just put a wall of mirrors up and you could just sit and stare at yourselves for an hour and a half. You could do that American thing, just, oh, man, we are really awesome. We are really great. We're really good. But friends, the prophet Micah comes and he says, you know, I'm not going to give you that. I can't give you that. I need to give you what the Word of God says. And he's not putting forth himself. He's putting forth the Spirit of God. And he's putting forth the message that comes from God. Those are his credentials. He's equipped with the Spirit, and he's equipped with words that are from the Lord. Friends, this is what you ought to look for as you think about the Church of Jesus Christ. The Spirit going forth, reflecting what the Word of God says, and thus saith the Lord, faithfully expounding the Word of God. And then in verses 9 through 12, he finishes this section with reminding them that Jerusalem is going to be judged. Despite what the false prophets are saying, Jerusalem will be judged. Now he begins with saying that to the people that the false prophets are doing all of their work for personal gain at the expense of his people. And what Micah is saying is that at the center of this message is that Jerusalem is going to be what he calls plowed as a field. Now, does this happen right away? I mean, Micah is preaching. Does Micah go into exile? No. It's 100 years before these words come to pass. I think of Micah and his reputation, and it's quite possible that grandchildren of people living in this day could reflect on Micah and say, you know, Micah always told us that God was going to judge Jerusalem, but he never did it. You know, we've always listened to they wouldn't call them the false prophets. We've always listened to the prophets that said, you know, as long as you're full, as long as your bellies are full, as long as you're prospering, God is pleased with you. This could have been the grandchildren. But God's word comes to pass. God's word of promise comes to pass. It was over 100 years later that Jerusalem was totally destroyed and the judgment delayed was because there was a time of repentance for some. Not for all, but some repented. And God honored that repentance, withholding back judgment, just like he did in Nineveh in the book previous. God is slow to anger. That's what the psalmist tells us. But friends, we need to give him praise for that. We need to give him thanks for that. Jeremiah wrote about 100 years later in chapter 26, verses 16 through 19, it says, "Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, 'This man does not deserve the sentence of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of our God.' And certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembled people, saying, 'Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and said to all the people of Judah, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height.'" Friends, God's word comes to pass. And that's true for all of us. If we're looking to the word of God and we see promises and we see things that we're required to do, like in our text this morning, this is the will of God. This is what you're commanded to do, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. If you look at a text like that and you say, you know, God hasn't held that to me, why would he ever? God has never required me to do this, why would he ever? Friends, we need to realize that God's word comes to pass. We must believe that word. We must trust in that word and what it has to say, both the law and the gospel. The gospel calling us to cling to Jesus Christ by faith, knowing that each one of us must do this. It is a command in the word of God. We know that those things that will come to pass if we are not trusting in the Redeemer, that those things will come to pass as well. So what do we have by way of application from our text this afternoon? I'll give you four. The first is to not rest in your own safety. Safety is a false hope. All of these people that Micah is preaching to, they did not feel the danger. Life was very safe for them. And yet, behind the comfortable life and the full bellies was judgment. Resting in safety for safety's sake is a false hope. We sang that even this morning in the Psalms. Having a horse is not proof that we will win the battle. Number two, we rest in Christ as the true prophet, the one who speaks truth and is truth. Both of the prophets that are represented in this chapter, Micah being one, and a whole series of unnamed false prophets are another. Each one of them are mouthpieces for a God. Either the God of the Scriptures, and speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, or some God that is false, whether that is the God of self or whether that is a false God of the time. Each of these prophets were speaking. And we need to ask ourselves, who are we hearing? How many times does the Lord Jesus Christ tell us, "He who has an ear, let them hear"? You hear that and you say, "You know, I don't know if I've ever seen a person without an ear." Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, are you listening to what Christ is saying? Friends, are you listening to the Word of God? And I'm not saying that, you know, there's some impending judgment upon us that God has told me about. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to hear all of what the Scriptures say. And we need to have an ear for those words, that we would hear God's Word. Number three, we rest in God's Word alone, the sure hope of the world. There are many things in which people have hope. And we saw that in the text. We saw that in the prophet saying, as long as your bellies are full, you can rest, you can trust. Friends, there are so many things that we can rest in. We can rest in our jobs, and we can say, you know, as long as I'm occupied, everything is fine. As long as I have work and there's a paycheck coming in from week to week, I am fine. Or we can say, as long as the housing market in LA doesn't go over this amount, I am okay. Or we can say, as long as, and you can have this whole list of things that you're putting your hope into. And friends, all of those things can change. All of those things can change overnight. And children, I would even encourage you to think about those things as well. I want you to trust your parents. I want you to obey your parents and believe the things that they tell you that are true. But friends, children, you're to trust in God. Your parents will not always be here, but God will be. He is our sure hope. And connected to that, fourthly, we are to repent of our false hopes. We are to cling to Christ and to look to Jesus, the one who is glorious. All of these false prophets could have looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they could have seen the glory of a coming Christ as better than the little kingdom that they had built and that they were holding on to with white knuckles. But they didn't. They looked just to that kingdom and refused to look to the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the King who represents it. Friends, we are to repent of those false hopes, me included, all of us. And we are to cling to Christ, the one who is King, the one whose kingdom will know no end, the one who is glorious and beautiful, according to the Word of God. Amen.